Good morning. Good morning, Rabotai. Welcome to Breakfast on the Class. Breakfast on the Class today and this entire week is dedicated in loving memory of their beloved father, Salomon Sion, Le'ilui Nishmat Shlomo Yosef Ben Regina, sponsored by Laura and Mauricio Sion. Hazaku Baruch. Also, of course, we want to thank the Sions and the Shabir of Le'ilui Nishmat Shlomo Yosef Ben Regina. All the tzitzit that we've been giving away in the Beit Knesset, I think we're up to something like together maybe, I don't know, 100 pairs more that people are taking and that are wearing a few minutes every day, or they're wearing every day, or they're wearing on Shabbat, whatever it is. All that is a zechut, Mauricio, Be'ezrat Hashem, for your father, Le'ilui Nishmato. Also, of course, the class is dedicated for the continued refuah shlema and the complete refuah shlema for Eliyahu Shemo Mazal Fortune, for Chana Bat Sima Fega, for Chaim Rafael Ben Farida. Learning for this week is dedicated by the Torah Center Gold Donors, the Dishi Brothers, in gratitude to Hashem for their growing family. Of course, we also want to say a tremendous Mabruk and Mazal Tov to the Dishi and Sit families on the birth of a baby girl. Mazal Tov, congratulations, Jonathan and Louise. You should be zochet to raise her in the ways of Torah and Mitzvot from now until forever. My friends, the week of Kobru is sponsored by David Yash in honor of you and your substantial capacity to do good today and every day. Very, very special. That's the size coffee I would want to have, by the way, Rabotai. If I could bathe in coffee, I would do that too. All right, let's go. Our parasha, Shemini, it tells us towards the end of the parasha, the laws of kashrut. This is Shemot. I'm not sure how this got here. And it tells us all about all the laws of kashrut. It goes through the many different animals, the many different birds, various things that a person needs to have, the simane, the signs of kashrut in fish, all the various things that a person who's trying to keep kosher, you know, might need to know. And our rabbis point out, the Vilna Gaon and others, that if you take a look, that's the end of this week's parasha of Shemini. And the beginning of next week's parasha is Parashat Tazria, when a woman will give birth, and it tells us the story about what happens, how she needs to relate to, and what's the laws of Tahara and Tum'ah post-birth in a woman. Please only answer Amen if you're listening to this live. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Nivro. Oh, Baruch Hashem. Okay. So, my friends, the rabbis point out that what is the connection of these two things? Says the Vilna Gaon that when it comes to kashrut, right, the kashrut that a person is eating affects not only themselves, but even the child that's born. Wild. So a child that's born after the parents are eating kosher is given an added bonus, a more spiritual soul to begin with. That's what the Vilna Gaon says. And that's why we read about the laws of kashrut immediately preceding the laws of having a child. So I remember, and I always like to lead with this, someone said to me, Rabbi, it doesn't make any sense. It's not fair. How could you blame the child for that parent's not eating kosher? Right? You can't even tell me that it's going to affect the child. What did the child do? How is it right to punish the child for that? It's not fair. And I agreed with you. I agreed with him. I said, you're right. It's not fair. But let me ask you, if you fall down and you break your nose, it hurts, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. Did you intend to fall down and break your nose? No. Did you have kavanah? No. Would you love to do that? No. Is it your fault? No. But in reality, when you break your nose, it hurts. What the Vilna Gaon is telling us is something very, very powerful. He's telling us that the concept of kashrut, it is a reality. The reality is, as the Pasuk says, be careful to eat kosher only. V'nitme'etim bam, you should not become impure through them. The Gemara points out that the word v'netme'etem bam normally would be written together with an aleph, but in this case is written without the aleph. And the reason why it's written without the aleph is because it can be read instead of v'netme'etem bam, and you will become impure, v'nitamtem bam, and you will become mitumtam, stopped up. The heart will have what's called timtum halev, the stopped up heart. My friends, it's important to understand the power in that statement. You know, I like to compare a lot of times when a person thinks about hazit, someone who has a heart attack. Now, part of the reason why a person has a heart attack is because the blood can't get to the heart. And what's interesting is, a lot of times you think, oh, obviously that's a blood problem, or obviously that's a heart problem. Many times, it's got nothing to do with the heart. Heart's perfectly fine. But the arteries that are leading to the heart have become clogged, whether it's cholesterol, whatever else might be the case, and then the blood can't flow. Sometimes the problem is not the blood, the problem is not the heart, the problem is the pipes. And when the pipes are stopped up, the movement is restricted. And now at that stage, has v'shalom, the results can be disastrous. The same way there are physical pipes that can be clogged, my friends, there are spiritual pipes as well. Nobody cares if you had so much cholesterol buildup, so much plaque buildup, if you intended for it to happen, if you knew about it. People got these things happening before we even understood how it worked. Kashrut is no different. It's not the baby's fault, but the baby was born to the parents. If you have a mother who's a crack cocaine addiction, you know, addict, heroin, I don't know whatever else is going on. I don't know what all the kids are taking these days. Right? Please no one tell me what they're taking. Not sure what that says about you, if you know about them, all right? Okay. So, right? A child that's born to an addict mother, the child is born a drug addict. And I don't know if you know this, it's one of the saddest things in my mind to even contemplate, is that when the child is born, they actually give the kid, they give them, I think it's MDMA. They're literally shooting up a brand new born baby with MDMA, with one of the highest forms of drugs. The reason is because if they don't give the baby the drugs, the withdrawal symptoms are very severe. So an addict hopefully survives it in rehab. But a baby is not strong enough to survive the withdrawal symptoms. So they slowly have to wean the child off of what's it called? Of this heroin addiction by giving the child meth. It's crazy. But my friends, in spirituality, it's no different. A child is born, parents are eating non-kosher. It's the only mitzvah, as we've said many times, it's the only mitzvah where the sin is not something that you do, the sin is you. You become, right? When you eat, that food is transformed into blood and tissue and bones and muscle and sinews and veins, right? The food becomes you. If that food is not kosher, that's who you are, right? It's made up of it. How are you going to wean that child off? Hazit, it's born into this world. It already has this uphill battle. It needs to fight. Crazy. So my friends, I want to take a little bit of a delve with you into this. Because I feel that it's something that people don't quite often understand. The laws of kashrut, on some level, are considered a chok. What's a chok? A chok is a mitzvah that you do without knowing the reason why. It doesn't mean that there isn't a reason. It means either that you don't know the reason, but more importantly, But the reason why you do it is not because of its reason. Like we just saw in Parah Aduma, God says, Chuka chakakti, gezera gazarti. I instituted a chok, I decreed a decree, ve'en lecha reshut leharher acharya. You have no permission to think after it. That means that even if I don't understand what I'm doing, even if I don't grasp the logic of how it works, I don't get it, still I do the mitzvah. So my friends, on some level, kashrut is a chok. But there are parts of kashrut that our chachamim explained to us have a very deep logic. You know, many of the animals that we're forbidden from eating are carnivores. There's not a single carnivore that's mutar for a person to eat. And the Chachamim explain why. What's the reason? The reason is because to eat another living being, to eat another animal, requires a certain level of cruelty. And the cruelty that is there in that animal that's required to be able to eat something while it's crying to you, right? That right there, that's something that if you eat that item, you get the midah that is part of that animal. Again, we're seeing the essential way that our Chachamim understood the essence of kosher. It's something which was the essence of something being transported from the food into the person. So much so that the Chachamim tell us, one of the birds we're not allowed to eat is a bird called Chasida. Can't eat storks. Why? Obviously, then who would deliver the babies? But other than that, right? You can't eat Chasida. Why? Says Rashi quotes the teachings of Al-Chazal, because Shemit Chased, because it does kindness, Aim Chavroteha, with its friends. What are we learning? We're learning that when an animal doesn't do kindness to others besides for its friends, yeah? What are we learning? That's a bad midah. Now, I always had a problem with this. Let's look at the cow for a second. Okay? The cow, yeah, doesn't do kindness with people that are not its friends either. And yet we eat it. So you're telling me you have a problem with the chasidah because it does do kindness with its friends? The other animals we eat don't do kindness with the ones that are not their friends. They just don't do kindness at all. That's better than a person who's doing kindness with his friends and not with anybody else? And the answer is, I think this is very powerful. There are some people who don't have the capacity for kindness. They don't have the substantial capacity to do good today and every day. Thank you, David E. Ash. My friends, but once you know that the chasidah does have the capacity, and then you see that the chasidah is not using that capacity, that's when we have a problem. That's a bad midah. We learn from this unbelievable. There's many times a person in this life, you know, we want you to do good, but you're just not capable. I'll give you an example. You have someone who's capable of forgiving. You want to know now, how come you forgave this person and you're not forgiving this guy? This guy did X. That person did X plus X plus X plus X plus Y, right? This one you forgive, that one not? Doesn't make sense. The same thing, my friends, is true here. If you don't have the capacity for forgiveness at all, it's not a lack that you're not doing forgiveness, you just can't. But when you do have that ability and you're not exercising it, that's a terrible flaw. In your life, my friends, person says, listen, Rabbi, I know what you want from me. I'm exhausted. in the morning, I'm coming to pray. I'm half into it. I'm half sleeping. I don't, you know. But then you find out that the guy has no trouble getting up to go on vacation. The guy has no trouble getting up if he's going to exercise. He has no trouble getting up if he's in another country and he needs to watch a football game. I don't know. Only for prayer you have trouble? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't compute. You know what it tells me? It tells me that this is not a, I have trouble getting up. I have trouble with whatever. This is a praying problem. You don't have the proper relationship with tefillah. Therefore, says the pasuk, this chasida we can't eat. My friends, I think what we're learning over here is something very beautiful then as well. If that's what happens when a person is not eating non-kosher, or eating non-kosher, what happens when a person is eating kosher? You see, most people think when they're eating kosher, they don't think about what they're eating, they think about what they're not eating. Our relationship with kashrut is what you can't have. Right? That's our relationship with kosher is. But who thinks, you know what I'm eating? I'm eating something which is kosher. I love this idea. You know what the word kosher means? I was on a plane once, and the woman says to me, I'm really sorry, we don't have your kosher meal. It's a very long flight. We're trying to figure out in the galley what we should do, because there's no kosher meals on the flight. You're obviously a kosher paying customer. You don't have anything to eat. She says, and what we thought of, she said, is what if we use the telephone on the plane and we call down and get a rabbi to bless the meal? The vast majority of this world thinks that you know what makes something kosher? If a rabbi blesses it. That's what they think. They don't know. They don't know that there's things that are not kosherable. People don't know that. What does kosher mean? Kosher means if it is correct, fit. In fact, we use the word in the Talmud, anyone who sheds tears, al adam kasher. Adam kasher doesn't mean that suddenly you became a cannibal and this guy is now kosher for you to eat. Adam kasher doesn't mean a person who kept kosher. Adam kasher doesn't mean a kashrut coordinator. Adam kasher means a person who lives their life being proper. And I love this idea because it tells you that kosher food is proper food. It's literally soul food. Now, what if you thought that way when you ate? You thought to yourself when you're eating something that is kosher. You said to Hashem when you made your beracha, thank you for bringing me this sustenance. And I love this idea. One of the after blessings that we have when you're not doing Berkat HaMazon or Al HaMechia is Borei Nefashot. Let's look at the text of that bracha for 1 second. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu, right? What do we say? Borei Nefashot Rabot, Hashem created many souls, Borei Nefashot Rabot, V'chesronan, and He created everything that they're missing, everything they're lacking, right? L'achyot Bahem, Nefesh kol chai. To bring life, nefesh kol chai, to the soul of every living thing. But when I learned that this is the understanding of what kashrut means and kosher means, that you're feeding your soul, you're feeding a sensitive heart, you're feeding your kiddusha, now I understood that it doesn't mean to sustain every being. It means lachayot bahem nefesh kol chai. To bring to life the nefesh of every living thing. Your soul is given sustenance when you're eating kosher. Do you imagine that? Chicken soup, you feel your soul burning brighter. Challah, brighter. What a magnificent thing. My friends, I have to say something that's controversial. Mechila. Pause the tape. We would love it as the rabbinate if everyone would keep 100% kosher. But there's some people, that the reason why they don't keep 100% kosher is because it's all or nothing. And it's not all or nothing. Eating non-kosher meat and eating meat and milk together, and each one is its own isur. Now, I'm not telling you that you should downgrade your kashrut. I'm trying to give you rungs on the ladder that you can climb. I had a guy told me, Rabbi, I'm not going kosher. Why? He says, I'm a wine connoisseur at the time. There's no kosher wine on the level. I was like, and that's it? Just the wine? He goes, yeah. I was like, so I have everything else kosher. He's like, you could do that? I said, no, you can't do that. But you can't do what you're doing either. So at least it's something. Get started. Today, the guy's fully kosher in his house and out. You know, the other day, someone sent me a clip from this comedian, Elon Gold. He's got this beautiful, hilarious bit, you know, about kashrut. He's like, you know, it's funny. I have my house fully kosher. You can eat off the floors if you want. You can eat the oven. Everything is 100%. But when we go out, it's not kosher. He said, imagine you had that level of hypocrisy, he says. This is what he says. In other things. Imagine someone says to you, I'm a vegetarian at home. But out, we eat cows, we eat dogs, we eat octopuses. Does that make any sense? Right? It's wild. He gives numerous examples. I'm faithful to my wife at home. But when I go out, I have a fully faithful home. Now again, he's saying something that a person needs to understand, needs to hear, actually. And humor, a lot of times, offers us a window into the absurdity of things. But let me ask you, if you're not going kosher out, that's not happening. At least have the fully kosher home, right? At least, let's go. What can you do? What can we add? You're going to go to an NK restaurant, make sure you order things that are less non-kosher. Everything is one step. Now, I know, you know, we all know that, you know, red meat, you know, cheeses, brings, you know, raises your cholesterol. It's not so healthy. I'm not going to stop cold turkey, but I understand that I shouldn't have it every day of the week, correct? Let's get on that train. And if you've been on the train for a very, very long time, you have to ask yourself, when is the time to upscale? If you've been on the my house is kosher for a very long time, you know what Hashem gives you more life for? More mitzvot. That's what He gives it to us for. We live more days for what? To be able to grow. If there's no more growth left in your life, what does Hashem say? No reason for you to be here. You're not doing anything. You want to justify your life? You need to be taking on more things. Now, I'm not saying a person needs to be taking on chumrot. You have to be doing this, that's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about the chiyuvim. If only we were just able to keep everything, you know, just the mitzvot, just like mitzvot deoraita, mitzvot deraban, that's a full-time job. But upscaling, standing up, moving forward. And I must tell you, every time I think of this parasha, Isha ki tazria, a person eats kosher, you create the environment within which this child is born in a pure way. So some of you might think, okay, Baruch Hashem, I don't need kosher, Rabbi, but I'm also not having kids. Sayonara. Peace out. I want to share with you a powerful idea. The Gemara says, Ger shenit gayer, kikatan shenolad dami. Anyone know what that means? A convert who converts to Judaism, kikatan shenolad dami, is like a brand new baby. Chatan and kala that have their sins wiped away on the day of their wedding, what are they compared to? Baby. Brand new baby. A person who does complete teshuvah, what are they compared to? Brand new baby. Having babies is not only people who were in their childbearing years. It's not only for people who were married. It's not only for women, it's not, right? Everybody's always having children. I want to share this with you. You are your own child. And the kosher you eat creates the child that you become when you are reborn. And my friends, I don't even need to make this so religious to be able to help you understand what I'm talking about. You see a guy, his whole life, the guy has bish mazal. You know what that means? Bish mazal. Bish mazal means, you know, if the guy didn't have bad luck, he wouldn't have any luck at all. Like that. Bish mazal is the guy who buys umbrellas, it stops raining. That's bish mazal. I heard something the other week. You know, someone was explaining the difference between a shlemiel and a shlemazel. Do you remember that? He says, a shlemazel is a person who's walking with soup. Yeah? And he trips and he spills the soup. That's a shlemazel. A shlemiel, excuse me. A shlemazel is the guy he spills the soup on. Unfortunately, I know a lot of people who have dual roles in their life. They're the soup spiller. When they spill, they throw it up in the air and it comes down the same guy. You get to meet people like this. And then one day, this guy, this girl, they have everything running against them. They turn a corner. They open up a new business. Something happens. Something changes. That's a moment for them. Of a rebirth, that's a rebirth moment. The person is being born into something new. You have sometimes a person in a terrible marriage, does everything he can, him and his wife, to save it. Finally, they realize they're not supposed to be together, they get divorced. I have to tell you, I think the guy, when the day he got divorced, he was happier than he was on his wedding day. I'm not saying that to be funny. I mean that in all sincerity. It was the best thing for both of them. It was unbelievable. A husband and wife who spent their entire marriage fighting, criticizing, angry at each other. Now again, what does a person need to do to save Shalom Bayit? Everything. But they did everything. And it just didn't work. And they were just not there. They were not present. They were not engaged. They were not. At that point, what happens? They shook hands while they were still married, because afterwards it would be Shom Negiah. Shook hands and said, look, it's not working for me. It's not working for you. We can make each other's lives a living hell. We can fight over the kids. We can badmouth each other in shul. Or we can make a pact. I'll only say nice things about you. You'll only say nice things about me. It didn't work because it didn't work. We both want what's best for the kids, and everyone agrees that in every divorce, having the parents involved, both parents are, unless the guy is, I don't know, Mike Tyson punching people in the face, okay? The healthiest thing for children is for both parents to be involved. We both agree, so let's just work out a schedule that works for me and for you. They both went on, they both got remarried. The children now have, instead of one unhealthy home, two healthy homes. My friends, these people are reborn. If a person wants to be able to turn that life around, sometimes what you need to do is invest in that rebirth process. And that's the zechut of kashrut. That what you eat and what you put into your body becomes a part of the next iteration. Whether that's the next generation or whether that's the next version of yourself. May Hashem bless us to be able to push ourselves. You know, there was once a time when eating kosher out was very, very hard. My friends, we are no longer in that time. Get over yourself. Let's go. Get over yourself. There's so many restaurants. Meat, milk, parv. You can get 50 types of sushi. 50 sushis from every, you know, especially because Jews have sushi in every restaurant, right? I feel like if you go to Eichler's in the back, they have sushi. Okay? Right? New from Art Scroll. Art Scroll. Hey! Okay, fine. Guys, we're here. We're there. This is something that we can do. You know, especially, you know, you have sometimes people. I remember once I was at a hotel and they had kosher food and non-kosher food. I see this guy, Jewish guy. I knew the guy. We went down to the breakfast. The guy takes the bagel. This side says kosher bagels. This side, non-kosher bagels. I went up to the guy. The guy takes the bagel from the non-kosher side. I went up to him. I smiled and I said, Shabbat Shalom. It wasn't Shabbat. But I said, Shabbat Shalom. I don't know why I said it. I thought it was funny at the time. The guy goes, it's not Shabbat. I said, it's true. It's not Shabbat. Today is a regular weekday. I said, yeah. I said, so he said, so why do you say Shabbat Shalom? I said, I don't know. I guess I was confused. Sometimes I get mixed up between the holy day and the not holy day. Like you got confused between the bagel, the holy bagel, the not holy bagel. He kind of smiled. And I said to him, if you ate the bacon, I get you. Right? There's no kosher bacon over here. But here's a bagel. And here's a bagel. Look, they look the same. It wasn't like one looked like the hot bagel bakery from Deal, New Jersey. Luscious bagels, right? Fantastic. And the other one looked like Sara Lee. They both looked like Sara Lee. Sara Lee bagels are what happens when bagels try to go to school in the morning and they get run over by an 18-wheeler. Okay? This is a smush bagel. This is a smush bagel. What's the difference? What? You may as well have the kosher one, right? My friends, today we live in a world where you may as well have the kosher one. You like fine sushi? We got fine sushi. You like fine steaks? We have fine steaks. You like fine dairy? We have fine dairy. There's an app everyone should download. It's called Kosher Near Me. In Shamayim, you know, and every app in the app store, there's a rating with 5 stars. In Shamayim, when these guys get to Shamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to swipe right. Hashem's going to tell them 5 stars. How many people were able to keep kosher in all the world? It's GPS. You just click it wherever you are. It finds all the kosher restaurants around you. My friends, it's so easy. Chalas, take the step. And if you're nervous that you're going to take it alone out of your group of friends, you know what? I bet you one other of your friends is also hesitating right at the edge, thinking about doing this, but also is not doing it because no one else is doing it in your group. So you know what? You can figure out who that person is. Game recognizes game. Decide to do it together. If you can't do it every time you go out, at least you eat out 3 times a week. Start with 1 time a week, making sure it's only kosher. Come on. God gave you another day. It's time for another step up. Time for another step forward. And this is true for every person on whatever level they're on in Kashrut, in trying always to upgrade the game, always to do more. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen v'amen. Rabbi Chananya, Ben